Jehovah Jireh, you're my provider, Lord. Oh, my provider. You're more than enough, Lord. Oh, you are more than enough. Oh, for me, Jehovah Rapha. Lord, you've been my healer. You're my healer. By your stripes I've been set free. By your stripes I've been set free. Jehovah Shammah, you're always with me. Oh, change my heart, O God, make it ever true, amen. That be your desire tonight, amen. Change my heart, O God. O God, make it ever true. Change my heart, O God. O God, may I be like you. Sing that again. Change my heart, O God. Change my heart, O God. is what I pray. You are the potter, you are the potter. Lord, I am your clay. Just mold me. This is what I pray. Hey, change my heart, oh God. Oh God, make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God. Oh God, may I be like.
Hearts like yours. Amen. 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 We just thank God for his grace and his mercy today. Amen. Saints, he's been so good to us this week. Amen. Amen. We do have a few announcements here. Amen. Quite a few things going on here this weekend. Amen. We will we'll be having Brother Jesse preach for us this Sunday. We'll only be having one service, but keep him in prayer. Amen. That God's will be done there. Amen. That he's preached the word of God to us. Amen. Amen. Also, we'll be having a work day this Friday again for the men, for those who would like to press their way out around 5:30 or so. Show up whenever you can. And also on Saturday, we're going to be having another work day. We're going to have a lot of the saints from Pennsylvania, some of, I think, Julia's brothers and other ones over there. They're going to be coming over to work here. So if you can make it that day, too, that'd be great as well. But if you can't, we understand. Amen. But we're going to be having, Sister Julia said to give this, we're having a provide a home-cooked meal for the brothers that will be working at the church Saturday at lunchtime. If you would like to help make a dish or dessert, please contact Sister Julia. So, amen. If you want to get a hold of everyone, help cook. Amen. Also have, I think, just one more thing here. One prayer request here from Brother Brooks. He asked that request prayer for the church and an individual prayer as he desires to see Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever in his church. He has people coming this Sunday with illnesses, I don't know exactly what they are, and it wants to see God heal them. Amen. How many believes he's the same yesterday, today, and forever? Amen. We ask anything in his name, and it shall be given. Amen. I'm just going to ask Brother Simon to lead us in word of prayer. Amen. Also the tithes and the offerings and that request there. Amen.
Just bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, Lord, we love you, God, and Lord Jesus, Lord, we just appreciate you, Lord God, and Lord Jesus, we just want to grow close to you, Lord, yes, God, and Lord, that our greatest desire, Lord, you'd be number one in our hearts,
amen.
God, Lord, that we could do all that we could for you, Lord, just to love you, Lord, and adore you, God, and Lord, like that sister sang that song, Lord, that we can treat you like the King, God, Lord, and Lord Jesus, Lord, we want to bow ourselves before you, Lord, so we don't have to do it later on, God. We want to judge ourselves now, so we're not judging later, God. We just want to do everything just right, God, that would please you, Lord.
Amen.
Lord, we want to walk with you every day, God. Lord, we want to do what we can for you, God. And Lord, you just open up doors, Lord, for souls, God. And Lord Jesus, just open up, Lord, any opportunity, God, for us, Lord, to shed this little gospel here, God, this mighty gospel you've given us, God, Lord Jesus. Lord, make us bold as lions, God, Lord. May that lion anointing fall upon us, God, Lord Jesus, Lord, and refresh us, Lord God. And Lord Jesus, Lord, don't take that evil anointing either, God, Lord. Just give us all, everything we need, God, for this hour, Lord, that we could be called overcomers, Lord, with your saints, God, Lord, and with you, Lord. Lord, just grant it, God, Lord, and Lord, be with anything, God, that people have on their hearts, God, Lord, for this weekend, Lord, and for Brother Jesse as he brings the word, God, this Sunday, Lord, and be with our pastor as he brings this tonight here, Lord Jesus, Lord, and be with our musicians, Lord, our song leader, Lord, the congregation,
Lord.
Those that couldn't make it, God, Lord. And we just love you, Lord God, Lord. Just help us, Lord, to just get into the spirit, Lord, and Lord, we just rebuke any spirit, God, Lord, to come against it, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. We love you so much, Lord, and a blessed tithes and offerings. Amen.
Amen. Amen. How many always look forward to Wednesday night services? It seems like God just really blesses us with the word, amen. I don't know if it's one of those things where, you know, in the Garden of Eden, when God would come down and walk in the midst of them in the cool of the evening, he would fellowship with them, and just kind of feels like that sometimes. When Wednesday nights, he just comes right close to us. Amen.
Glory.
Amen. Let's just sing that song, These Are the Days of Elijah. Amen. How many knows that the bride is making herself ready? Amen. Amen. That Elisha bride. Amen.
Amen.
These are the days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord. And these are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. And though these are days of great trial, of famine and darkness and sword, still we are the voice in the desert crying, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Behold, he comes, he's riding on the clouds, shining like the sun.
Song, give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Amen. Amen.
Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Give me oil in my
Amen. How many are looking forward to that day when we shall rise, saints? It's coming soon and very soon. We just want to make preparations every day. Amen. Amen.
In the resurrection morning, when the trump of God shall sound, we shall rise. Hallelujah, we shall rise. Then the saints will come rejoicing, and no tears will there be found. We shall rise. Hallelujah, we shall rise. We shall rise. Hallelujah, we shall rise. Amen. We shall rise. Hallelujah. Oh, in the resurrection morning, when this prison bars are broken, we shall rise. Hallelujah, we shall rise. In that resurrection morning, what a meeting it will be. We shall rise. Hallelujah, we shall rise. When our fathers and our mothers and our loved ones we shall see, we shall rise. Hallelujah, we shall rise. Oh, we shall rise. Hallelujah, we shall. Oh, amen. We shall rise. Hallelujah. Oh, in the resurrection morning, when death's prison bars are broken, we shall rise. Hallelujah, we shall rise.
Think about it, saints.
In the resurrection morning, blessed thought it is to me, we shall rise. Hallelujah, we shall rise. I shall see my blessed Savior who so freely died for me. We shall rise. Hallelujah, we shall rise. In the morning, we shall rise. Hallelujah, we shall rise. Amen, we shall rise. Hallelujah. Oh, in the resurrection morning, when death's prison bars are broken, we shall rise. Hallelujah, we shall rise. And in that resurrection morning,
yes, Lord,
oh, we shall rise. Hallelujah, we shall rise. And be carried up to glory, our hope, right and fair, we shall rise. Hallelujah, we shall. Oh, one more time, we shall rise. Hallelujah, we shall rise. Amen, we shall rise. Hallelujah. Oh, in that resurrection morning, death's prison bars are broken, we shall rise. Hallelujah, we shall rise.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let's just sing that song, Every Promise in the Book is Mine. Amen. If there's anything in the Word today, it's yours as long as it's in that Word. Amen. You can take it by faith. Amen. Just sing that song. Why don't you greet your neighbor as we sing that song, Every Promise in the Book is Mine. Tell him, Every Promise in the Book is Yours. Amen.
And every promise in the book is mine. Oh, every chapter, every verse, every line. I am trusting in His love divine. Every promise in the book is mine. And every promise in the book, every chapter, every verse, every line.
But just sing that song, By and By, When the Morning Comes, amen. How many are ready for the Word of God, amen, to hear what God has to say to us tonight, amen?
Amen.
We are often tossed and driven on the restless sea of time. Somber sky and howling tempest oft succeed a bright sunshine. In that land of perfect day, when the mists have rolled away, we will understand it better by and by. Oh, by and by and by and by. Oh, when the morning comes, when all the saints of God are gathered home, we will tell the story, how we overcome, and we'll understand it better by and by. We are shelter, thirsty hills and barren land, but we're trusting in the Lord and according to it. Oh, we will understand it better by, oh, by and by, just by and by. Oh, when the morning, oh yes, when all the saints of God are, overcome.
And we have a probably going to have a some visitors coming next couple, well, within the next month. We should be pretty busy with visitors, visiting ministers and so forth. So by the grace of God, I enjoy me while you got me. Because we got some visiting ministers coming. So by the grace of God, we're looking forward to seeing what God will do here. We're hoping that we can get the church done pretty soon here, just so we can get a good revival going, good old-fashioned revival. Amen. I know the next time we've kind of been holding off. You know, in the past years we've had 2 to 3 revivals every year, but we're holding off, thinking that the bathrooms are going to get done, but the bathrooms are about done. So it's good to see visitors this evening. God bless you. Good to see all the rest of the saints that were able to make it tonight. It certainly is a wonderful thing to be a Christian. Amen. So God give us strength this evening. And how many have a need of God this evening? Pray you'd pull on God. We're just going to do our best just to get out of the way and allow God to speak and say what He desired to say to you. And we understand how God operates. God, if you allow the God within you or even yourself to pull on God, God will respond to that. Amen. It's actually something that He's ordained by the Spirit of God, and we like to partake in that as well. Amen. So if you had your Bibles, we'd like to open our Bibles to a few portions of Scripture this evening, kind of working with a simple thought this evening, maybe a little more evangelical, but I was wondering why I was feeling a little change, and I've been feeling a little change of direction this evening. And by the grace of God, I pray this will be a blessing to everyone. Amen. Ephesians 4:7, if you'd like to turn there in your Bibles. Maybe after that, we're going to go to Job 14. See where God will take this. Amen. Ephesians 4:7 says here, "But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ." Amen. So each one of us within the body of Jesus Christ, we have a portion of the gift of God that's to be in us. Amen. Some might be called with a higher gift, some may be with a lower gift. But yet, as we even said on Sunday, we understand that that's very important for each and every one to take their place in the body with which God has given them. Now notice in the 8th verse it says, "Wherefore He saith, when He ascended up on high, He led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men." Amen. So thank God He pretty much did everything. He led captivity captive. It doesn't say me and you did it. It doesn't say... didn't say your cousin did it, and it said He did. Amen? Amen. So notice what His desire was. He led captivity captive. How He died. And He resurrected. Amen? Amen? And because He died and resurrected, what does He do? Does He require something? The Scripture says He gave gifts unto men. So praise God. That's some kind of a Savior we serve, isn't it? Amen. Now let's turn our Bibles next to Job 14:13. Job 14:13 says, "Oh, that thou wouldest hide me in the grave." You ever felt that way? "That thou wouldest keep me secret until thy wrath be past. That thou wouldest appoint me a set time and remember me. If a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come." Amen. "Thou shalt call, and I will answer thee. Thou wilt have a desire to the work of thine hands." Hallelujah. Amen. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer as we pray to go into the Word. Our most beloved Lord Jesus Christ, God, we thank You, Lord, for allowing us to be here this evening, Lord. And God, as we humbly come before you, Lord Jesus, realizing, Lord, that there's no great man here, there's no great woman here, God, but we're just all God's children, Lord, and desiring to find our place, our position in the kingdom of God, Lord God, that you might be able to show us that, Lord God, and take us further into the realm of who we are, God. And Lord, tonight, Lord, as we entertain this portion of the word, we just ask, God, you'd certainly, Lord, touch us, God. Bring us, O God, to a fuller understanding, God. Maybe, O God, show us a little something, Lord, that might be able to get us, O God, away from ourselves, God, and more leaning and hanging on Thee, Lord God. It's our desire tonight, God. And I just pray, Lord, as every fiber, I pray, of every being here, God, will be set aside that the Spirit of God might have its way tonight, God. O God, we have need of Thee, Lord Jesus. O God, we're hungry for you, Lord Jesus. Help us, God, as we're fighting, Lord, to prepare for this coming of the Lord. We just ask, God, you just have your way now. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. The bride says together, amen. You may be seated. We had a title for this evening's sermon, a little bit longer tonight, but we'd like to give it the title of Enabled for the Work at the Appointed Time. Amen. And we'll be getting into this just a little bit tonight, maybe touching a few things. And then if we had the topic of interest, we're still working on the word, or the, remember when within our church age book it said God told the prophet, he said, pick up your pen and write. And by the grace of God, it was a word or a message that was given about the word and the bride, amen? So about Jesus Christ and his bride, amen? And by the scripture, we know what the Bible says that we are. We are the church of the living Lord Jesus Christ, and that, of course, makes us the bride, amen? So this evening, we want to talk about enabled for the work at the appointed time. I don't know if this will be the last one within this, but we've been working with the message that was given to the word about the word and the bride to the church, amen. And this evening we want to move that a little bit further this evening with a few more things, and perhaps we'll find more there someday. But I kind of felt led to come back this direction and say what the Spirit would have to say. So I'd like to maybe start out, and I'd like to read a quote from that church age book, and it'd be page 175, paragraph 3 this evening, amen. And the other day we were working with commentators, and this we're working with Brother Branham here. And by the grace of God, we'll just try to enjoy this the best we can. Amen? Praise God. Good to see some smiling faces. Amen. Praise God. You love the Word of God? Amen. Now we want to work with this tonight and just perhaps bring a few thoughts out about this and maybe show us a little bit. Because remember, when it all is said and done, this is about the word and the bride, amen? So we want to focus on this and just make sure we pay very close attention just in case you haven't been paying attention to it, amen? But here it says, now remember that Moses was born for a certain work, but he could not do that work until he had received the gifts which would enable him to do the work, okay? He had to go out in the desert and wait there. God had an appointed time. There was to be a certain Pharaoh on the throne, and the people had to be crying for the bread of life before God could send him back. Now, this is our key portion right here. It says, this is true for our day. Amen? So this means that by looking at this passage, we should be able to look into the Scripture and be able to find out key things about our day and age, and to be able to find parallels and things that would actually draw us to where we are seated in time, amen? So that we could see, okay, is Jesus Christ really alive? Is Jesus Christ, where is God, amen? When the world looks around and they, now we it's funny, and I just seen it in the news, now they have an atheist church, amen? And they're actually assembling on their specified service times. And I don't know if they're just bashing God or what they're doing. But yet they have an atheist church service now, right? I could only imagine that that would not be a very happy time. You don't know where you're going. You don't know who made you. You don't know anything. All that you know is that you're here and you do whatever you want. But by the grace of God, when you look into the Bible, you find somebody to please. Amen. It's the God that made you. It's the God that called you. It is the God, what? That breathed the breath of life into you that would enable you not just to walk in a world, but to actually find a purpose-driven life. Amen. That you would be able to feel the Spirit wooing over you. You'd be able to hear the voice of God. You'd be able to know God when all around you don't know Him. And the secret of it all is that He reveals Himself personally to you. Amen. God's not just interested in churches and big things, but God wants to come and know you on an individual basis, right? He wants to know everything about you, right? He does. Remember, God is omniscient. That means He already knows everything about you. But He wants you to what? To be able to open up and share those things to God. To be able, what? To find God on a level of a husband and a wife, the Word and the Bride. So that once, what? Once they are joined together and a son of God or a daughter of God finds God, there is something that has taken place. Amen. What am I saying? What am I saying is that what? When you get God, you'll find you can't get away from God. It doesn't matter where you try to run to, you'll never get away from God. You'll be miserable in your condition if you know that you're not lining up with the Word of God. This is the inerrant Word of God. This is the Word of truth. And because it is the Word of truth, what? It defines your lifestyle, right? I don't take my lifestyle from Rihanna or whatever her name is, or Tom Cruise or any of them. I take my lifestyle from the Word of God. Hallelujah. This Word of God defines my actions. It brings me pleasure to fulfill this Word. Amen. Amen. So now, in working with a little bit of a thought this evening, remember we're talking about being enabled for the work at the appointed time. Now, it's very interesting that when we begin to see this, you see that Moses, he was born a peculiar child, right? They knew, Amram and Jochebed knew there was something distinct about this child. And therefore, because of that, when the Pharaoh sent the army out and they tried to kill all the children from two and under, what, they hid him in an ark and floated him down the river, trusting that because God had a special, what, ark that had come from their mind to put the baby in, that God would be able to protect that baby, right? And by the grace of God, it's the same thing today. What, God has placed you in an ark, amen? Or so to say, He's placed that ark in you, right? But notice, He protects you with that ark. And what? There was nothing. Remember, Moses was predestinated to be a prophet, a deliverer for the people. Remember the reason why Pharaoh was actually killing the babies. His desire to kill the babies was because he was afraid they would take him over. He was worried about deliverance. And the whole time, the deliverer was born. But Pharaoh didn't know all about it. All he knew is that they were a problem. But God had already set a deliverer in the midst. But Satan knew what was going on. He seen something was going on, so he tried to stop it. Now, I'm going to be working with Moses a little bit tonight, and hopefully I'll get on to you too. But anyway, by the scripture we find that here Moses was, and Moses, what, he grew up in the life of slavery. But remember, he seen it all around him, but he was not a partaker. Why? Because what? The princess had found him and had brought him in to be one of them. So he was specially protected by Pharaoh's army. And he was literally ordained to be the destroyer of Egypt. Isn't that amazing? Now remember, the scripture says that Moses was trained in all the wisdom of Egypt. He knew everything. He got his schooling. He wasn't out in the slave field not learning, but he was what? He was educated, smart. And what? There was something about him that God put him at a place where he'd be able to what? Open up his mind.
Yeah, right.
Now remember, Egypt just didn't open their mind to knowledge and these type of things, but Egypt opened their mind up to the spiritual world as well. Kind of becomes kind of interesting because remember, Moses had a line he was born with to connect with God. Now, let's move on a little bit here with this because I want to get into this and work with it a little bit because I want us to focus on this quote, and I'll be going through it a little bit here and there from the excerpt from the book. But it says, now remember that Moses was born for a certain work. But he could not do that work until he had received the gifts which would enable him to do the work. Now remember, everything had to be working out just perfect. Remember, there had to be a certain Pharaoh. The right Pharaoh had to be there. Because remember, when Moses first tried to deliver Israel, what happened? It was the wrong Pharaoh. It was the wrong Pharaoh. That Pharaoh had to die. Because there is a certain Pharaoh. Remember what the Bible says. It says that who can say to the potter, why hast thou made me thus? He made Pharaoh to be hard-hearted. The other Pharaoh would not have qualified. Notice the difference in the Pharaohs. The first Pharaoh, he just killed him. But this Pharaoh, he was hard-hearted. He didn't kill him. He literally stayed out every plague. How interesting it is. Now, we love the Word of God, don't we? But notice here, so everything had to be exactly where it had to be. Moses had to have the right gifts. Okay? The Pharaoh had to be the right Pharaoh.
Right.
But notice it says lastly that the people had to be crying for the bread of life before God could send him back. So the people had to be crying too. This is true for our day. If you think that a rapture, a latter rain, the power of God to manifest upon your life, if you think it's going to come without you crying out to God, what that is what a selfish way to live. If you expect God to ever do anything for you, and I say this from the pulpit to the back door, you have to cry out to God. I'm not saying God knows I'm a good person. I'm saying that you have to know this God. You have to have a desire for this God to move on your behalf because He has the ability, but you have to unlock that ability. We walk around and say, I'd like to live like the world. I'd like to spend all my time doing what I want to do. God, give me the power, God. God, I want to see gifts. God, I want to see a church that moves to Point, Ohio. But God ain't going to move anything if you ain't moving for Him. We say, God, do everything for us. Show me where God did everything for everybody. Never happens, does it? What God does is He just lets time take its course. He always lets time take its course. He'll let you suffer it out a little bit. Let you sit there with all the curiosities, all the thoughts in your minds. Well, what if I did this? What if I do that? Well, how long can I sit here? I can't do this anymore. And he'll wait till you get to a place that you fall down on your knees and respond to him. That's what God wants. God wants you to love him. That's how simple it is. So notice, now Moses was being enabled, but he had to have the right gifts to do the work. Now, this is what I find is so interesting. Here Moses is with all the education, with all the knowledge of all these things, but here Moses is ungifted. Moses really isn't gifted. He has a lot of natural strengths, a lot of things that would be perceived as gifts. But when God looks at that, there are no gifts there. So God actually has to get him in line to what? To show him who he is and what a real gift is. Hallelujah. So notice, I want to move in our Bibles here very quickly. Let's go to Exodus, the second chapter. Exodus 2. And brother, when we get there, we're going to go to the 11th verse. Exodus 2:11. It says here, and it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown that he went out unto his brethren and looked on their burdens. So what? Notice what this is. He sees their burdens. Remember, what is a burden? A burden is a load. Right? When we come to Christ, we come to Christ because of our heavy burdens, right? We're carrying a load, and it's too much for us to bear, so we bring it to God. But notice here, he only sees burdens, all right? Now, just a little thought that we're working with. But notice here, it says in the 12th verse, well, we didn't finish that one. He's seen their burdens, and he spied an Egyptian smiting a Hebrew, one of his brethren. And he looked this way and that way, and when he saw there was no man, he slew the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. So notice what he does. He is now taking it in his own hands to try to deliver Israel. He says, you're killing my people. This is my people. I'm going to stand up and I'm going to deliver. But notice what happens. He finds himself killing the Egyptian, but in the scripture, in the 13th verse, it says, and when he went out the second day, behold, two men of Hebrews strove together. And he said to him that did the wrong, wherefore smitest thou thy fellow? And he said, who made thee a prince and a judge over us? Intendest thou to kill me as thou killest the Egyptian? And Moses feared and said, surely this thing is known. Now when Pharaoh heard this thing, he sought to slay Moses. But Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well. Praise God. Sometimes you just need to sit down by a well. Amen? The woman at the well, what she needed to do was stay right at that well because the word would visit her at that well, right? But notice here, Moses, he had what? He had all these gifts, all this knowledge, all these supposed things. And he comes and tries to make a move. Now, I know this is elementary for most of us. But by the grace of God, you see what happens? He sticks his hand out and he tries to start a deliverance amongst the people. But notice, nobody jumped behind him. He killed one that was trying to kill his Hebrew brothers. And you think the Hebrews had jumped right behind him and said, I'm all about this. Let's take Pharaoh over. Instead, the scripture says that they turned against him and said, are you going to kill us too? All the gifts that Egypt could offer. And who was Egypt? It was the superpower of that day. But notice, Moses saw burdens. He seen people that were struggling. That's what a burden is. It's a struggle. Now, do you realize that these people had been enslaved for how many years? This would be 40 years in Moses' life that they were enslaved. And they're still not ready for deliverance. You would say, okay, 40 years of serving the devil. It's time. It's time to make a move now. I can't handle this no more. Wonder how many times they had to take Shamgar's wheat. I bet it wasn't 40 years worth. But here are these stiff-necked, rebellious house. What? They're still not what? They're not desiring a move of God upon them. They're still satisfied with their condition. And God sends the gifted one. But we find out that the gifted one doesn't have God's gift. So God has to actually take him out for another 40 years. So we move again. Now notice in Exodus 2:23, we jump down a little bit here. It says, and it came to pass in the process of time that the king of Egypt died. One of the ordained characteristics of this move of God now takes place. Someone has to step up. So now we're going to have the right Pharaoh move into condition, right? He's going to start growing in his ministry of being the king. Now notice as we continue, it says, and the children of Israel sighed by the reason of the bondage, and they cried. And their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage. So now it's not just a burden anymore, but we find out that now it's a sigh. It's a misery. There's something that's what? It's become overwhelming to them. Why are you saying this, brother? Because remember, this is for our day. You see, a lot of us might look around and say, oh, I've got God, but I'm not happy with what I have of God. But the problem is your actions and your expressions are showing that you are satisfied with the amount of God you have. Because remember what the Bible says. There is a measure of the gift of God for your life. So notice, you might think you have a gift, but if it is not the measure of the gift or what the gift is, then you will remain unsatisfied in a blind, wretched, naked, miserable, Laodicean condition. Oh, I've got God. Yes, I just got done. How can I cry out? Amen. I work with a bunch of Christians that cuss and swear. Tell dirty jokes all day. Are into drugs. This is not Christianity. But what? There must be a level, something that sticks out as what? A deliverance to them that they must see. Because remember, amen, what Moses had to offer them at 40 years was not enough to turn their opinion towards his nature. Because what turned them the second time around? The nature. We're getting there. So notice, God had to take them the long route. And you say, oh, I know Malachi 4 has been here. I know that the Son of Man has been revealed. But church, if he's been revealed, there should be a response that becomes that word. Amen. You know what I love about this? God sent a Messiah sign in this day, but he also sent a Messiah sign to be upon you. Amen. Where's the Messiah sign? Oh, thank God, because it's always an appointed time. When Job cried out, he said, I'll wait for my appointed time. He cried out in Job 19, he said what? He said, in my flesh I shall see God. Though the skin worms eat my flesh, in my flesh I'll see God. But you don't have the same claim that he has, because you are not meant to die. You are meant to be raptured. So you see, you don't have to say the skin worms destroy my flesh. You don't have to worry about the skin worms eating your flesh. But you can automatically cling to the promise that in my flesh I shall see God. When? Today, this day. How do you know you're in the rapture? You should know now that you're in the rapture. Why? Because in your flesh now you should see God. Why? Because God, the life, is the token that you have made the rapture. Go ahead and get quiet. That's all right. Because we're coming around. So notice here, as we continue on. So God, he comes to Moses on the backside of the desert with a burning bush. He draws him up there. And now, notice, this time it isn't Moses seeing their burden, but it's God seeing their bondage. When God sent a prophet, he's seen your burden. But when this God responds, he'll see your bondage. My bondage? Well, come on, Ohio. They're getting ready to legalize same-sex marriages. Well, what does that have to do with anything? Because in every situation in the past that this happens, it is a downward spiral to the imprisonment of Christians who are what? Bigots and haters. It ain't going to stop. It ain't going to go until it shuts these church doors down. Because we believe. We believe what the Bible says. But the awesome thing is, we already know what's going to happen. Why? Because we've been identified with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So God now sees their issue and he says, boy, you guys got some problems here. They're crying out now. Now, do we see where Moses heard them cry out for deliverance? We'll see it. But now we see God looking at the scene. He says, look at them crying out. He said, now it's time for the deliverer. So here we see that he comes up, and according to the scripture in Exodus 2:24, it said, God heard the groaning and remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now, the funny thing is, now we see groaning. Groaning at the coming of the great deliverer. Well, wait a minute. First, what does groaning mean? Groaning is a deep sound uttered in pain or sorrow. Now, what does the scripture say in Romans 8? It says, the whole creation moaneth and groaneth for the manifestations of the sons of God. And Paul said, we ourselves groan for the what? For the making known of God in our life. So if there is not a groan, because remember, if you don't know what you're supposed to be, how can you groan for that? It's funny, you can groan for a better job. You can groan for a greater house or a greater this or that. But we're not called to do that here. We're called to groan for the manifestation of who we are. Amen. The making known. Everything I'm meant to be is what I'm growing for. Okay? Is the creation groaning for that? Surely. Surely. Are we ourselves groaning? Okay, let me read that one more time. I've seen all those yeses. A deep sound uttered in pain or sorrow. Okay? Are you groaning for who you are? But don't worry. It's coming. In the 25th verse, now notice, Israel left Canaan's land, went down to Egypt, sojourned there for 400 years in slavery. And remember, they were only supposed to be blessed in the promised land, which was Canaan's land. So here they were, and they went up here, and of course, things aren't going to be good because they're not where they're supposed to be. But notice, God comes around, he says, he looks at the covenant that he made with them. So God's very reason for bringing deliverance amongst the people is because of the covenant that he established with them. And notice, because God made a covenant, the scripture says, it says that, and God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them. Did he respect them for being slaves? Remember, the scripture says covenant, then respect. Amen. So God looked at the very covenant that he made, which was the only thing that he could give respect to. Well, what merit are you standing on? Oh, remember, the scripture says your righteousness is as filthy rags. Here you're sitting with nothing good about you at all except for the merit of God's covenant in your life. Well, what are you putting before God? What does it mean when you say, God, I'm pleading the promise? You're saying, God, here's the covenant. Because remember, what was a covenant? It was a sign, it was an agreement between two parties. So it was actually binding that whatever was in that contract had to happen. So if you had the contract, you're doing all right. Amen. You got the title. It's yours. Right now, the bank holds my mortgage. I just got in a dirty covenant with them. And they're going to be after my house until I pay it off. And you know what? The legal writing of that covenant is, if I don't pay my bill, it's theirs. It doesn't matter that I paid $30,000 for that land. Because I used the land as collateral to get that loan. So if I don't pay my bills, they get the house and my land. Sounds like a dirty trick. But you see, God, he has a way of enlightening you to his covenant. There's no dirty trick about it. All you have to do is receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. All you have to do is say, Jesus, I am a sinner. There's nothing good about me, God. I have to have your life. Amen. I've not been satisfied with my actions. I've not been satisfied. satisfied with the way my life's been going. God, if you're real, you can do something for me. Then what? You get the covenant. Once you feel that change, you should never leave that covenant. Doesn't matter if you're justified or sanctified. Because when you felt something move over you, you got a claim. That's what you say. You look at the Bible, say, I've been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. For the promise is unto you. The promise. What is the promise? It's the covenant. He can't go back on his word. He said if you were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, you would receive the Holy Ghost. Covenant. So it doesn't matter how long you want to stay in slavery. Now tell me, church, where do you see Israel trying to run away free out of Egypt? You don't see it. Can you show me where Goshen had a big barbed wire fence around it? Don't see it. Have you ever heard of it? I haven't heard of it. So literally, 2 million people were living in slavery at their own wishes. Isn't that crazy? Yeah, you can be free. You know what it's like? You get locked up in jail. See, they open the doors up and you say, okay, you're free. You ain't making me go. I ain't going nowhere. But there's no, it's open. You don't have to stay in this cage anymore. No. I ain't got to stay here. But you're going to have to be a slave to the system. Yeah, that's okay. That's exactly what Israel did. And they had more people than Egypt did. I mean, you're talking about Goliath and David the other way around. Isn't that insane? Yeah, but they got whips. Yeah, but you got 2 million people and they haven't even invented guns yet. I mean, come on now. You got bricks. Throw the bricks. But what? They had got used to, because how many years were they in slavery? They just got used to being enslaved. And here we come into the message of the hour, and we get used to being in this type of lifestyle. Well, I don't smoke or drink or do anything like that, you know. Well, I go to church on Sundays instead of, God, speak to me today. Amen. God, I want to know who you are today. Uh-oh, I'm going to get long-winded on a real simple subject. I better watch myself. Don't fall asleep. Hold on. We're not done yet. So notice this. This is going to finish out just right. I'm not going to get to everything I want to get to. It's going to finish out all right. So notice here, so God gets to a place. He says, okay, Moses, I see their affliction. I see their groans because there's no manifestation amongst them. They're just slavery. Amen! So it's time to send them a deliverer. Was I the only one getting excited about that? So notice here in Exodus 3, verse 7, we see God getting a little bit more with him here. In Exodus 3, 7, it says, and the Lord said, now he's talking to Moses now, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. He already knew their sorrows. Oh, I'm glad he died on the cross from the foundation of the world. He knew what suffering was all about. And I am come down to deliver them out of the land of Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land and a large unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. So now we're talking about oppression. God didn't say, call Pfizer up and have Pfizer take some medication down there. God said, I have seen the cry. When you have an issue, something that's wrong with you, it doesn't mean you need a pill. It means you need to cry out to God. Amen. I'm not happy in my life. Cry out to God. Amen. What's the worst thing it could do? Make me wait 40 years. What if it's only 4 minutes? 4 minutes? That's a long time. So God starts to move. I'm almost done. I told you I'm going to be easy on you. So here they go. Notice, we read our quote. What's going on? Our excerpt, what's going on? We see the right prophet. Now, here's the problem. This prophet needs gifts. He has to have gifts. The right Pharaoh, he's on the scene now. And now we see that they're crying out for the bread of life. Isn't that funny how that's worded? Because who's the bread of life? The bread of life is Jesus Christ. They're crying out for deliverance. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. You want deliverance? Deliverance has and always will be what? Jesus Christ. So now, moving a little bit. Remember I told you, was it last Wednesday I told you? I said I had no idea what those gifts were. I guess I just wasn't thinking because I was on the pulpit. Because remember, the scripture comes out and it begins, you know what? Yeah. And it begins to actually break this down a little bit. Because remember what Moses said in Exodus 4. He said, I'm not eloquent. I can't speak. Remember, he had six weaknesses that he makes known about himself. He said, I can't do this. I can't do that. I can't do that. And the scripture says that God, his anger was kindled towards Moses. Now, catch this. So, Moses did not have gifts that enabled him for the work. With all his training, now he's waited on the backside of the desert for 40 years. Where's the gifts at? All we know from the scripture is that he became the meekest man on earth. And now we're finding that he doesn't have the ability to talk. He's been hanging out with sheep all the time. Oh, Lord Jesus. Here he is with all the gifts. Now he's at a place where all he has is weaknesses. Only weaknesses. Now, why am I telling you this? Because this is for our day. I don't get it! This is for our day. God allowed you to grow up, to get your education, to get this and that, and to see this and that, and you have all these experiences, and you say, oh God, I just become a Christian. God, I am ready for the work. Put me into service, God. Well, you know, I got a B in school and I didn't even study. How smart is that? I was a good athlete, though. God, I can be in the Fellowship of Christian Athletes or whatever it is. I found my gift. I have the gift of playing basketball and talking about God while we elbow each other and get really competitive and not like each other until about 2 days after whoever wins and we get done bickering and fighting. Sounds pretty godly, don't it? Aren't you glad that God doesn't count that as a strength? Well, I know Brother Steve's better at basketball than all of you, but that's not has nothing to do with the point. Brother David's the best motocross rider here, right? Dustin's the best welder. Big Dave. Big Dave's the best at everything. I was talking to Brother Simon last night. I said, now Big Dave, he worked with Brother Andy on the HVC. Now he knows more than all of us about everything. Shame on him. Brother Dave. Well, Brother Dave. But you see, that's not a strength. When God looks at Brother Dave's newfound HVAC ability, God still does not look at that and say, that's his strength for me. But Brother Dave, he's seen that deliverance is on. He's seen that he's part of the deliverance and that God's going to use him because he's got the Holy Ghost. Wait a minute. Because this is for our day. This is the time when you receive God. And even now, the dispensation has changed. There's the Holy Ghost. There is still part of the time that you're losing your own strengths. Paul, how many years down the road watching the move of God in his life, God had to come say, my grace is sufficient for you because perfect, my strength is made perfect in weakness. How many years is that down the road? A lot of them say it's like 80, 60 years, something like that. But many years down the road, and now this is the claim. He had to go through all of that. And now God's beginning to make his strength perfect in him. Brother, what does that have to do with me? Because remember, this is your day. You have to be enabled. Amen. There is an appointed time for your enabling that the bride of Jesus Christ lives again. But notice, it has to be the right time that you can be enabled. Now, remember, why am I telling you this? Because Moses had to be enabled with gifts. But the gifts were not made known until the full deliverance was to be made manifest. Kind of like right now. But notice the word had to what? Reveal the gifts in his season. You know what the only difference about this is? The prophet's already come. And now the prophet himself is coming. And you are the enabled work. But you're also the one crying out. So, quickly here, Exodus 4. I'll just tell you. Now I'll read just a couple. Exodus 4:1, it says, Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. So notice what he's concerned about. He's concerned about the people knowing that God talked to them. He's not worried about the people wanting deliverance. He's worried about the people having confidence in what God has done in him. They're just going to look at me and look at me, Sister Wendy. Look at me, Brother Dawson. Look at me, da-da-da-da-da. Isn't that most of our problems? I don't look like much of a Christian. I don't drive like much of a Christian. I don't talk like much of a Christian. I don't love like much of a Christian. But you see, this was the season of enabling. Enabling what? Enabling the gifts. So God, Moses was already a prophet. He was born a prophet. But here, the gifts are enabled. So the Lord said unto him, second verse, what is in thine hand? And he said, a rod. He said, cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground and it became a serpent. First gift. He said, what if they don't believe that, God? So God says, I'll give you another gift. Sixth verse. And the Lord said furthermore unto him, put now thine hand into thy bosom. And he put his hand into his bosom. And when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. Second gift. God enables Moses with gifts for the full deliverance at the Exodus. So, it shall come to pass, if they will not believe thee, neither hearken, eighth verse, to the voice of the first sign, that they will believe the voice of the latter sign. Thank God for a voice behind the sign. Okay, I'm going to try to close. I know, I told you it was going to be short-winded. Now this is what I want you to catch. Exodus 3:12. Notice here Moses in all his confusion and everything going down. The scripture says in the 12th verse, and he said, certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. So notice, God comes to him, and now he is vindicating him with a personal token. What is it? He says, certainly I will be with thee. Jehovah Shammah. God will be with him. So notice, how does God, what is the token that shows him that this is him, that God is with him every move of the way? So how is the token realized? That you can look and see God in every step you make. Amen. Well, I've got prophetic insight. Praise God, you better. Where's your vindication? Who are you? What's your token? A token is a pass of a price paid. What's the token? The personal token. You know what I love about this? This is for him. Amen. That I have sent thee. You say, brother, I don't get it. Receive when the baptism of the Holy Ghost is on this level in your life. That is the token shining. When you can see God in every step of the way, you know who you are. Amen. There ain't nothing that can take you out of the bride. Amen. There ain't nothing that says you are, because it is personally vindicated. I don't have to go up to Sister Beth and say, Sister Beth,